ग्लानेर भवति भारत अद्युतानम् अधर्मशं तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम् परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता धर्म संस्थापना हरेर्नामैव केवलम् कलौ नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण वेलकम टू दिस वीकली कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस प्रोग्राम एंड वंस अगेन आई वुड लाइक टू इनवाइट ऑल द लिसनिंग टू द हरे कृष्ण टेंपल which is at 1229 Riverhead, Coatesville Highway. Also known as Highway 28. There every Sundays we hold special public program starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by aarti of their lordships at 12:30. Then we have a discourse on Krishna consciousness from 1 to 2. Finally, we have Guru Puja of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we finish the day's program with vegetarian feast at 2:30. Please come along, find out for yourself what is Krishna consciousness all about or how we celebrate Krishna consciousness. I'll continue the episode of Lord Ram's exile. At the moment, last week I told you about their arriving in Panchvati. So what happens there? 2 years had passed since the tribe entered the holy domain of Panchvati. It was Hemanta Ritu, autumn. Yet again, with each change of season, grew the anticipation to return home to Ayodhya. There were literally less than a year left. Have I told you the story of these five huge banyan trees surrounding us? Ram asked Sita, pointing out to the five colossal banyan trees. Sita craned her neck to look up at the five trees and said, I was almost sure that within these five huge trees were hidden some secret story. They seem to be too close to each other and too similar to not have a connection. Please tell me the story. The story is about when Usha, the second wife of Surya, felt uncared for and jealous of the time and attention he was showing on his other wife, Chaya. She left this sun god without informing anyone about her whereabouts. She reached this very place, also known as Tapovan, a name derived from the word tapasya, that signified the austerities performed by a saint to perfect their lives. While Usha was here performing austerities, Surya began realizing the absence of his wife and felt repentant about his negligence. He has descended here to request her to return within him. As soon as Usha saw her husband, she took the form of a mare and galloped away. Surya took the form of a horse and chased her. Five Brahman boys who happened to witness this whole episode felt that it was very childish and immature for powerhouse such as these to act like this. They laughed at and mocked the celestial couple. Their audacity offended Usha so much that she cursed the boys to live as banyan trees. Here we are among those five brothers. When Lakshman was about to speak about now needed some experience, observation to be able to empathize, Lakshman was telling Ram, if the Godavari is so frigid even at this time of the day, can we even imagine how cold Saryu, which is way up north and very near where our brother Bharat stays, must be in the wee hours. From what I have gathered, this season reflects the kind of life our brother Bharat is leading. Even the mere thought of that lifestyle could send a shiver down the spine of even the most hardcore of ascetics. Seeing Ram's eyes peering through him, Lakshman painfully began to reveal what he had recently heard. For the last 13 years, Bharat has been following self-abnegation. Since the time he left Chitrakoot, he has never stepped into the city of Ayodhya. Instead, he conducts the affairs of the entire kingdom, camped at a small village named Nandigram, near the outskirts of the city. Being a king, he could reside in a capacious palace, but he chose to stay in a tiny shack, dexterously conducting the affairs of the kingdom, judiciously reporting to your Paduka that he has respectfully seated on the royal throne. Bharat is revolutionizing the definition of leadership. Bereft of all royal facilities, he's madly expanding the Kaushal kingdom in all directions. My estimation is that by the time you return to Ayodhya, the kingdom that our father handed over to Bharat would have expanded at least four times, if not more. The seasons of the previous days, hectic schedules notwithstanding, Bharat religiously wakes up 2 hours before Brahma Murta and proceeds to the Saryu River The freezing cold Saryu River seems to have no effects on his body, and it is warm from the heat of separation from you. When some of his well-wishers asked him why he chose such an unearthly hour for bathing, he cried and answered that he considered himself inauspicious. Because he believed that he was the sinner by virtue of being the remote cause of your exile, he was convinced that the day of anyone who saw him the first thing in the morning would be ruined. To enter, ensure that none would chance upon him walking to and from the river, he thought it wise to rise before anyone else and finish his morning chores. He felt that suffering the cold was better than giving inauspicious pain to others. Aware that you have vowed to eat only roots and fruits, Bharat too has shown off Rajbhog, kingly meal, for 14 years, repentant of the fact that you are forced to eat such raw food because of him, he has taken the extreme steps of eating only once a day, that too, barley soaked in cow urine. Whenever he sits down to eat, even then, he guiltily weeps, thinking of what your meals might be like in forest. He cares neither for his taste and nourishment, nor for his health. He seems to be flogging himself each day for no fault of his. He knows that you would not be sleeping on a bed through your years in exile, so he has renounced soft beddings and chosen to sleep on the hard floor of the shack he lives in. That's not all. He feels that being your subordinate, he shouldn't even sleep at the same level as you, because you sleep on the forest ground in his shack. He has dug a pit 2 feet deep into the ground and sleeps in that cold hollow. He cries himself to sleep every night, remorseful of austere life you are forced to live. Can you imagine the suffering of our dear brother in our absence? I don't think the world has even ever seen a more sincere and loyal brother than him. His love seems inhuman. It has to be divine. I have always said that humans take after their mothers and not their fathers. But what I fail to understand is how Bharat has proved this assumption wrong. How can someone who has as noble a son as Bharat and a virtuous husband as Dasarath be the amalgamation of cruelty and selfishness? Ram's eyes glistened with tears as he heard of Bharat's agony. But the moment Lakshman began running KK down, Ram's anger swelled. He glared at Lakshman. That one sharp look was enough to rattle Lakshman. So sensitive was Ram that despite the pain inflicted upon him, he could not tolerate any disrespect towards an elder, even if the elder were to have faults. When you glorify one person, what is the need to deplore another? I am eager to hear about our Bharat forever. You can keep on talking about his dedication and love toward me, but why do you need to find fault with one of our mothers? Lakshman hung his head in shame. He couldn't dare to look at his angry brother. He always thought Ram was oversensitive, but he also knew that he was always right. Ram knew when exactly emotions suddenly shift from right to wrong, and he never hesitated to point that out instantly and yet sensitively. In trying to point out others' insensitivities, Ram never lost his sensitivity. I may have vowed to be in the forest for 14 years, but today, for the first time, I want to break that vow and return to the lovely embrace of Bharat. No vow of mine is more important than the suffering my brother is undergoing for my sake. Lakshman, let us return immediately to Ayodhya to rescue Bharat from his forced austerities. Having a brother like Bharat is a human being's greatest wealth. I don't want any kingdom. I don't want any opulence. I don't want any resources. All I want is the company of my three brothers and my wife. Oh, Lakshman, when will the day come when I will be united with Bharat, Shastrughan, Sita, and you? I wish I could spin the wheel of time faster to make it happen this instant. Sobbing like a child, Ram looked at Sita and Lakshman. Both together managed to pacify the emotional Ram. This was one of the rare instances Ram laid bare his emotions, and among the rare when Sita and Lakshman got an opportunity to save him by helping him deal with his feelings. Ram was always the steady one. He was the one who helped them deal with their emotions. A rare opportunity that endured him to them even more. It made them realize that love was not always for the taking. Neither was it always forgiving. Ah, the heat in my body can be calmed only when I embrace the cool, broad chest of this person. If I can do that, nothing would appeal to me ever in this life. Even the celestial nectar would seem like poison. It is better to die than not to have him as mine. Why is he wasting his youth in following all these austerities? I won't allow his youthful body to be wasted like this. With great hope and anticipation, she wobbled towards him as she trekked up the hillock to Ram's hut. The contrast between her and Ram seemed very glaring. One look at her fierce countenance could drive one sleepless in fear and disgust, whereas unlimited glances at him would leave one dissatisfied and hankering for more. Her massive pot belly jiggled unwillingly, proportions as she walked, while his slim and supple waist glided smoothly as he walked. Her coppery red, rough and steely hair was a disheveled mess, whereas his smooth, blackish, beautiful hair flowed neatly down his shoulders. His smooth, black hair, eyes sockets had a haggardly look that betrayed her wildness, while his large eyes sparkled and resembled delicate lotus petals. Her behavior was impulsive, frivolous, and deceitful, and she even appeared uncouth. Whereas he was extremely polite and governed by tradition and was the optimum of impeccable manners, her face was ugly and she was decaying and bending with age, while he was Prince Charming. Besides, being vicariously young made him attractive beyond comparison. Her vulgar and abusive speech sounded brassy and harsh like an iron nail scratching a tin surface. His pleasant and cruelty-refined speech sounded as if he was sweetly singing in Brahma's swara. As she neared Ram's home, She realized that he was sitting amid an assembly of sages. She was so focused on his beauty that she had failed to notice the others. With a detestable present and obnoxious stent, she crashed into the respectful congress. All the sages stood up and slowly walked out, keeping as much distance from her as possible. For a moment, she didn't know what to do or how to behave. She kept grinning bashfully at Ram and swaying to and fro, almost like a little girl infatuated with her favorite teachers. Dressed as a monk, but with a warrior-like appearance, who have you come to fool? Three banks for clothes with weapons for a battle? How do you justify the hermit combatant contrast? What brings you to this unruly outpost of the Rakshas? No sage has dared erect an ashram here. Even the so-called super sage August stays far away from here. What do you hope to achieve? Tell me all about yourself. Be candid. Although she seemed grim with a query, she was actually coy. I am the son of Dasarath. Ram is my name. I am here with my younger brother Lakshman and my wife Sita. We are on 14-year exile from Ayodhya, of which 13 years are complete. Noticing the contrast between her personality and her intentions, a naughty smile appeared on Ram's lip. She seemed like some comic demoness, some harmless fun shouldn't be a problem. After all, these 13 years had been intense periods for them. Oh, beautiful lady, I have told you honestly about myself. Would you be kind enough to enlighten me about yourself? Your regal looks reveal that you must be a very important person. Could I have the honor of knowing whose daughter you are, whose wife you are? An enthralling personality like you can't just be loitering without a mission. If it pleases you, could you please let me know what your mission is? These sweet words from Ram left Supnaka mesmerized. Just the voice of Ram was so soothing that she only heard him bits and pieces of what he actually said. She was enraptured by his persona. In a love-striking mad mood, she revealed all about herself and her mission as it. After hearing your Ram, how can anyone speak anything but the truth? Let me tell you everything about myself without concealing any facts. Supnaka is my name. I am the daughter of sage Vishrua and the Rakshasi Kaisaki. I am famous for my winnowing fan-like sharp nails and my guise-shifting abilities. The very mention of my name sends shudders down the spines of the weakest and strongest alike. My name has become synonymous with terror. No one can arrest my movements. I move around in the forest freely, all alone, using the compass of my wild mind. My brother Ravan, the mighty and valorous demon king of the dazzling dominion of gold. You must have heard of him. My second brother is the giant Kumbhakarna, who does nothing but sleep, and when he wakes up once every few months, he gobbles up massive quantities of flesh. My third brother is the black sheep of the clan, a total misfit in our otherwise harmonious family. Although the youngest, he is the stubborn, He is so stubborn and adamant that he doesn't adhere to the demonic teachings or follow the example set by his illustrious siblings. He is obstinate about following the dharmic lifestyle, which brings nothing but self-emancipation and gloom. I am proud of my cousins, though, the famous ever-victorious Duryodhana and Dushyant, who are effectively taking care of the righteous outpost Janasthan. But I must tell you that I excel over all my brothers in bravery and secrecy. My preponderances are non-superseded, and I naturally depend on no one. Ram, I don't mind accepting shamelessly that I am mad about you. Our meeting was accidental, and I have fallen deeply in love with you. If you marry me, I assure you the greatest pleasures in the world. I will carry you in my arms lovingly, and we can together ramble freely around the forest of Dandakarya. We will enjoy our loving sports on scenic mountain tops and deepest recesses of the forest, inaccessible to puny humans. This radiant female is but a worthless wife for you. You need someone with substance, someone like me. Thus far, no one has been able to resist my curvaceous, sharp and attractive countenance. Ram, I am the fittest wife for you. Abandon Sita and your brother and soar to great heights with me in all facts of life. A proposal made Ram chuckle. His radiant smile became like a noose of lust around Supanaka's flabby neck. The more he smiled, the tighter the noose became. She felt her love for Ram slowly and overpowering her like poison from a snake bite. Her body was so hot with passion that she felt that even icy snow from the mountains would melt instantly if placed on her chest. She felt like a burning hot iron rod, and if butter were poured right now, it would be burnt round. We'll stop there and continue next week. Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah. Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama,
Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.